Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
H5N1, monitoring the bird flu outbreak. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention continues to actively monitor the ongoing outbreak of H5N1, avian influenza, also known as bird flu, and says that the public health risk remains low. Dr. Matthew Beneker, director of the Clinical Virology Laboratory at Mayo Clinic, says scientists and public health officials have known about avian influenza for decades. Quote, what's different today is that since 2020, we're seeing the largest outbreak of avian influenza among wild birds, poultry, and backyard bird flocks, end quote, he says. Quote, the virus has also been found in certain mammalian species, most recently in dairy cattle, which is a little bit unprecedented and unique. And every time we see the virus go from birds into mammals, we worry about the virus adapting closer and closer to being able to infect and be transmitted efficiently between humans, end quote, Beneker says. Bird flu has been detected in the milk of dairy cattle, raising concerns for potential transmission to humans. The Food and Drug Administration found no traces of live virus in dairy products available to the public. Quote, the good news is that the pasteurization process used in the United States and many countries inactivates avian influenza. The milk that we drink, if it's been pasteurized, is safe. Any animal products, such as eggs, beef, or chicken, that you would cook to the recommended internal temperature renders that product safe to eat, end quote, says Beneker. Food preparation tips. There are steps people can take to ensure their food remains safe from any viral or bacterial pathogen. Quote, as with any potential infectious disease associated with food, cooking to the recommended internal temperature that the CDC lists on their website is really important. And if you do that, you inactivate viruses like influenza, you inactivate bacteria and parasites that could cause a human infection, end quote, says Beneker. The CDC recommends using a food thermometer to ensure foods are cooked to a safe minimum internal temperature. Beef, bison, veal, lamb, steaks, roasts, chops, 145 degrees Fahrenheit. Ground meat and sausage, 160 degrees Fahrenheit. Poultry, 165 degrees Fahrenheit. Always wash your hands with soap and water and disinfect cooking surfaces when handling raw or uncooked meat and poultry. Precautions around birds. Beneker says millions of birds have been infected with avian influenza, and the risk to humans remain low because the virus hasn't adapted to humans at this time. He recommends precautions for those who spend time outdoors or work with birds. Quote, if you're interacting with birds either through a backyard bird flock or a poultry farm, and there are birds that are either sick or have died, you need to wear an N95 mask. You need to wear eye protection and gloves, end quote, says Beneker. Quote, most importantly, you need to contact your state or local public health officials so that they're aware of what's going on in your poultry facility or backyard bird flock, end quote. Testing for avian influenza. The bird flu doesn't normally infect people, but some rare cases have happened. Infection can range from no symptoms to mild illness, like pink eye, to very serious and even deadly, according to the CDC. Quote, if you come down with symptoms, especially after interacting with a sick or dead bird, get tested for influenza and let your doctor and local public health officials know, end quote, he says. Quote, the good news is that influenza tests that we currently use for human strains of influenza should be positive if an individual is infected with avian influenza. The current tests just won't tell us specifically that an individual has avian influenza, end quote. The CDC is working with diagnostic test manufacturers and clinical laboratories to develop tests to specifically determine if it's avian flu. Beneker says those tools should be available in the months ahead. What to look for when choosing a mosquito repellent? Fort Collins, Colorado. There's an old joke that mosquitoes are like family. They are annoying, but they carry your blood. Mosquito season is starting to rev up across much of the United States, and that means bug bites. When a mosquito bites you, it pierces the skin using a mouth part called a proboscis to suck up blood. As it feeds, it injects saliva into your skin that can cause a reaction, a bump, and itching. But the pests can also spread parasites like malaria and viruses like dengue, West Nile, and Zika. So you might want to pause summer vacation planning and consider what to look for in repellents, which keep bugs away from you, and insecticides, which kill them. What mosquito repellents work best? The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says that for protection that lasts hours, people should look for ones with these active ingredients: DEET, IR3535, picaridin, or oil of lemon eucalyptus. Those ingredients are registered with the Environmental Protection Agency. A note about oil of lemon eucalyptus. Lemon eucalyptus essential oil has a similar name, but the agency does not recommend it because it hasn't been tested for safety and is not registered with EPA as an insect repellent. What other steps can you take to avoid mosquito bites? Repellents are one line of defense against bugs, but there are others. Wear long sleeves and long pants. Avoid going out at dusk and dawn, when some types of mosquitoes tend to be most active. Sylvie Hujbin, an evolutionary biologist at Arizona State University, helped develop an online game to help children understand how to protect against mosquitoes, which emphasizes another prevention strategy. Quote, mosquitoes need water to breed in, end quote, so it's important to make sure to get rid of standing water, including buckets of water or kiddie pools left undisturbed in the yard for a week or more, she said. Quote, make sure you're not the one contributing the local mosquito problem, that you're not breeding mosquitoes on your property, end quote. You can also treat clothes and outdoor gear with a pesticide called permethrin to ward off mosquitoes and other unwelcome pests. How insecticides are treated. How insecticides are tested. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention operates a mosquito lab in Fort Collins, Colorado, where it evaluates insecticides but not repellents. To test these kinds of products, the researchers coat the inside of a bottle with a given dose of an insecticide ingredient, then put mosquitoes in the bottle, usually about 25. They see what percentage of the bugs die within 2 hours and compare that with a nearby uncoated bottle containing the same number of mosquitoes. The test is widely used in the U.S. and also is increasingly used around the world. It is considered simpler and less expensive than some more complicated alternatives, including a test in which insecticide drops are applied directly to mosquitoes. Are mosquitoes becoming resistant to some chemicals? Just like bacteria can gradually develop the ability to shrug off antibiotics, bugs can develop resistance to some of the chemicals developed to kill and repel them. Permethrin belongs to a class of insecticides called pyrethroids, which have shown this kind of resistance. Pyrethroids grew popular in the 1990s as replacements to older pesticides and are commonly used to control bugs, adult bugs. Community mosquito control programs and farmers use the chemicals, but homeowners can also find them on hardware store shelves.
This is Melissa reading the Odessa American, Wednesday, May 29th, 2024. The article is called Odessa's Got Talent on Stage This Weekend by Alex Bate. Odessa's Got Talent has a roster of local talent all competing while also supporting the Permian Basin Mission Center. Odessa's Got Talent will take place on June 1st at the Ector County Theater. Tickets can be bought through the Ector Theater for the fourth year of Odessa's Got Talent. Last year, the show had a good turnout of talented Odessans, and this year has a packed playbill, all to support the local nonprofit. Founded in 1998, the Permian Basin Mission Center serves the community by providing for any needs the community might face. For qualifying clients, the PBMC offers various services to help set up for success. Their services are extended to families, veterans, the homeless, and anyone who might be in need. The adult and youth divisions of Odessa's Got Talent each have 8 contestants. After a virtual round of auditions and deliberation from a panel of judges, the finalists have officially been chosen. The lineup of the youth division of Odessa's Got Talent is made up of Ali B., the Baker Sisters, Leon Carrasco, Isaac Gonzalez, Camilla Rivera, Chara Shecklin, Lily Windham, and Noel Zapata. The adult division includes Emily Baker, Lauren Hensley Barker, Kaylee Beal, Samuel David, Amanda Gomez, Giselle Lopez, Jen Maroney, and Taylor Perry. For some acts, the event is a family affair. The Baker Sisters consists of three sisters who are in the third, sixth, and ninth grades. The Musical Sisters are the daughters of Emily Baker, who is competing in the adult division of the competition. The prestigious People's Choice Award will be presented at the end of the night to the contestant who receives the most votes from the audience. Throughout the show, fans and audience members will be able to vote on their favorite act of the night. Votes are $1 each and can be placed as many times as desired. Anyone can vote for their choice of the People's Choice Award on OdessasGotTalent.com at any time, but the event will be in person only. Tickets are available now online. Odessa's Got Talent will take place on June 1st at the Ector Theater. Adult finalists. Amanda Gomez is a first-year finalist in this year's Odessa's Got Talent. She auditioned following the encouragement of a friend. Gomez grew up surrounded by music of just about every genre, and she quickly began to make that a priority of hers. Emily Baker will be competing in the finals this year for the first time after years of scheduling conflicts. She's excited to add the Odessa's Got Talent stage to her long list of outlets for her passion for music. Having found her passion for music back in school, Giselle Lopez is excited to be competing in the finals. She was giving solo singing performances at age 14 in the university band and has been eager to perform ever since, with a deep-rooted connection to faith and family, as well as to her community. Jen Maroney couldn't be more thrilled to be supporting the Permian Basin Mission Center by competing in the finals of Odessa's Got Talent. She's participated in many community events over the years and is eager to lend her voice to something with such a noble cause. Maroney currently lives in Granbury with her family, but the Odessa community still holds a special place in her heart. Kaylee Beal will be competing in the finals of this year's Odessa's Got Talent. She couldn't be more excited to be sharing her musical talents with her community. Beal grew up in a small town just outside of Austin, and after relocating to Odessa with her husband and beloved fur baby Oakley, she feels right at home. For Lauren Hensley Barker, competing in the finals of Odessa's Got Talent is a return to a stage she's very comfortable on. Hensley Barker has been singing all her life, even singing herself to sleep as a little girl, according to her mother. As an adult, she's had countless experiences using her gift to perform at sporting events, local shows, and has even recorded an original song. Samuel David's personal connection with music began when he was just 15 years old, when he performed at a local talent night. Ever since then, he's been mesmerized by the idea of using his love for music as a way to impact the world around him. Taylor Perry is ready to share his musical talents with his community as a finalist in Odessa's Got Talent this weekend. Perry has always been interested in music, and he has worked hard to hone his skills. Over 10 years ago, Perry began to teach himself how to play the guitar, and there was no stopping him after that. In the youth division, Allie B. started her singing career in a talent show at age 5 and has participated in many talent shows in the 11 years since then. As finalist in the youth division of Odessa's Got Talent, she's excited to keep that tradition going strong, having participated in Odessa's Got Talent last year as well. B will be one of several contestants making a return to the stage. A triple-pronged finalist in the youth division of Odessa's Got Talent, the Baker Sisters is made up of three sisters. Piper, Keller, and Harper Baker have been singing all their lives, and they're eager to bring their harmonies to the Odessa's Got Talent stage. Camilla Rivera will be competing for a chance to win the youth division of Odessa's Got Talent next month, something that will come as no surprise to anyone who knows her and her passion for music. No stranger to the competition, Rivera was awarded the prestigious People's Choice Award back in 2022, and she is eager to return to this year's show. competing in the finals of the youth division of Odessa's Got Talent with a stunning violin performance's Chara Shaklin. Shaklin has been playing the violin for 3 years, and she is incredibly excited to bring that skill to the Odessa's Got Talent stage. 13-year-old Isaac Gonzalez is ready to showcase his musical talents in the finals of the youth division of Odessa's Got Talent. An eighth grader at IDEA UConn, Gonzalez competed in show last year as well, where he won first place. Fueled by that win, he is excited to be making another appearance on the Odessa's Got Talent stage. Leon Carrasco has been a musician all his life, and as a finalist in the youth division of Odessa's Got Talent, he has an opportunity to share that passion with his community. Carrasco is by no means a stranger to performing and has competed in several musical competitions in the past. Lily Windham has made it to the finals of the youth division of Odessa's Got Talent. From a young age, Windham has loved being involved in music and theater. At the age of 6, she performed in her first musical, and the rest is history. As a finalist in the youth division's Odessa's Got Talent, 15-year-old Noel Zapata is excited to be bringing his love for music to the stage. The Legacy High School sophomore began singing in the St. Anne's Spanish Choir when he was just 9 years old. He has been pursuing a love of music ever since. Longtime NTO counselor retiring. After 51 years in education, Celia Carrillo is retiring from Ector County ISD. For the past 11 years, she has been the counselor at George H.W. Bush New Tech Odessa. Her retirement party was May 23rd. Carrillo had worked at ECISD years ago, but moved on to other school districts across Texas and in Oklahoma. She and her husband returned for family reasons. But also, Odessa felt more like home. Originally from Sanderson, Carrillo always loved school and played school growing up. Starting in junior high, people asked her to tutor their children. So I tutored all the way through middle school and high school, Carrillo said. She started college at Angelo State, and she came across people who would tell her things. She wondered where they got the information, and they said they're school counselors. I could have really used a school counselor to guide me. That's when I decided that eventually, after working as a teacher, I was going to be a school counselor so that I could provide that kind of information to the students, Carrillo said. There is a photo of Carrillo, and under the photo it says, Celia Carrillo talks about her career in her office at George H.W. Bush New Tech Odessa, May 23rd. Carrillo has been in education for a total of 51 years and is retiring. Former principal Gerardo Ramirez said she has been an inspiration to many in the community. Once she got her master's degree in counseling, she was recruited to be an elementary counselor. But she had her heart set on secondary. But I had a friend that said, you don't deny when they're asking you to do something because then you probably won't get another opportunity. I said, okay. So I became an elementary school counselor first with the special education department at ECISD, she said. In the 1970s and 80s, an elementary counselor was more of a diagnostician, so they did a lot of the testing. There weren't enough of us, so we had 2 to 3 schools that we would travel to give the test while the diagnostician would come later and interpret the test. But we administered the IQ test, the Wechsler. We would do the Stanford Bing test. We would actually administer some of those tests, but we did not interpret them, she said. The diagnostician would interpret the results, and there weren't enough of them either. Little by little, the school district started adding elementary counselors to where we finally had an elementary counselor at every elementary. Then we started doing the guidance and the counseling, and then they added diagnosticians, Carrillo said. It was probably about 1999 when we started counseling at the secondary level, doing a little bit of everything, such as scheduling and college counseling. I got to do what I wanted to do, and that was to start helping them prepare for college, Carrillo said. It was also what she needed when she was in high school. She started college at Angelo State and then transferred to Sol Ross State University in Alpine. She had a job as a check sorter where she was attending Angelo State, but computers came in and her job became obsolete. It was right at the beginning of summer, so all the summer jobs were taken. I had a sister attending Sol Ross working in the dean's office. She was talking to the secretary of the dean of Sol Ross. He overheard. She was talking about how I lost my job and I couldn't find one. He stepped out of his office and went to her and said, "Tell her to come here and she will have a job in this office. I will make sure she gets the faculty advisor and we'll get her all set up." I couldn't pass that up, Kareel said. She added that she loved Sol Ross because of the personal touch and that they would go the extra mile. Kareel finished up with a degree in math and started teaching math in Eagle Pass. That summer, I started working on my master's in counseling because I did have that in mind. I didn't expect to use it right away, but I was going to do that, and that's where it all started, she said. Although Sol Ross is closer to home than Angelo State, Carrillo wanted to stand on her own, so she decided to go a bit further away. Carrillo's parents got married young, and the family didn't have a lot of money. There weren't any Pell Grants back then, and not a lot of scholarships. She also didn't know about CLEPing out of class. CLEP stands for College Level Examination Program, and it enables students to earn college credit for introductory level courses by achieving satisfactory scores on subject-specific tests, the Investopedia website said. However, her parents always believed in education and told her and her siblings they were going to college from a young age. That's what made me want to help others, is because I knew how difficult it was to go from high school to college. The Hispanic community did not support females going to college. My father endured a lot of comments about his daughters going away to college, Carrillo said. People told her father they were wasting their money and good ladies don't do that. It was difficult on my daddy to hear those comments about his daughter. My older sister was already in college. By the time I went, I was the second one. He was working two jobs and my mom was cleaning houses. We didn't have scholarships, but my sister and I both had loans that we had to pay back. It was not easy for my parents. We know that they had to do a lot to get us through school. Extra work. I know they went without so we could have, Carrillo said. Her sister became a teacher. When she was at Sol Ross, Carrillo said there were only two women in the higher math classes. Both wanted to be math teachers and the professor would pick on them. They formed a study group to prepare for class. So when the next time we went to class, we were ready. Because when the gentleman in the class would say he's always picking on you, the professor would pick on us because women did not belong in math and science. But what it did is it made us more determined to excel, Carrillo said. She added that he made her a better student. Carrillo's last day is June 18th. She said her granddaughter was thrilled that she'll have Carrillo all to herself. She and her husband, Valiente, have two children and four grandchildren. Carrillo plans to spend time with her family, take better care of her health, care for her husband, and volunteer. She said she wouldn't be able to do what she does without her husband's support. UTPB gets proactive on careers. OA News at OAOA.com. University of Texas Permian Basin offers a variety of resources to help students prepare for interviews and the workforce, from a career closet to career champions. The Career Champions program has been in place for about a year. We saw a lot of students looking for industry advice, and we're also looking to get our partners involved. We want our students to have the latest and greatest information. While we do a really great job of staying on top of trends and workforce needs, we serve all campuses, and so what better way than to go directly to industry professionals, so we just brought them in. Then the program developed, and we've just added to it. We live in a very blessed community that a lot of partners, employers want to be involved in helping students achieve their professional goals, Director of Internships and Employer Relations Megan Baeza said. It also helps companies connect with talent early on. There is a plus side to being a champion, too. Get on campus and get to meet with students, identify talent, and create those conversations really early on, Baeza said. Many faculty members also have participated in the Career Champions program. We have dedicated careers page online. We feature spotlights of different people. One of our latest ones, Clock Moreland, he gave a financial donation for the career closet so we can buy new clothing in some of the sizes we don't already have. He also partnered with us to have industry professionals come into his writing class and speak on how writing is important in the workplace. They were able to hear from journalists, engineers, and doctors on the importance of writing and communication in the classroom. We have lots of career champions, even here at the university, faculty and staff that are really just career-minded and want to, again, support students' career goals, Baeza said. The clothing closet has professional attire students can wear for interviews and keep, like suits and ties. Companies, alumni, and community partners donate the items. All of these items are adding value to help students in their future career, Baeza said. I think that these are pretty innovative. We've seen some other career centers do the same type of approach, but I love it. I love that all hands on deck. You know, there's a motto of career everywhere. That it's really everyone thinking about career, where it fits in. Athletics, in band, and in student government. In the classrooms, that all of these things are adding value to really help the students in their future career, she added. As the word has gotten out, employers are starting to come to UTPB to get engaged, ramp up their recruiting, and start internship programs. Awards called the Freddies are bestowed for a variety of achievements, including highlighting student engagement around campus. The Career Center also awards a career champion that goes to a facility, staff, or community member for their participation this last year. There is an Intern of the Year, which is voted on by the intern supervisors. At the State of the University, Baeza mentioned that a call was put out to people who are hosting interns to let UTPB know and they could be nominated for Intern of the Year. We had a partner of a large CPA firm locally submit their nomination before April 15th, and I thought how wonderful that is that this student has made such an impression that they felt like they needed to build in time just to showcase and nominate the student's work. I thought that was really exciting, and it shows how much employers are invested in careers, student success, and internship, Baeza said. Winners get a plaque that has their name engraved on it for Intern of the Year. She added that semester they put a call out to students to report their internships and get a Falcon Hired t-shirt. We want to know how we can support you in your career journey. Southwest Bank across the street has two finance interns this summer, but we also have a finance student that is going to Delaware to intern with JP Morgan Chase. Internships are happening anywhere, everywhere, and we love it, Baeza said. The Career Center has an online job board called Handshake that connects students with career opportunities so their partners post jobs on there and then marketing those roles to students. Before they apply, we're also helping with one-on-one coaching with their resume, interview prep, professional attire to wear to the interview. So a lot of professional and career development happening prior to that and maybe even sometimes after that, whether that's a second interview or a follow-up thank you note or things like that. We have lots of resources and, again, one-on-one coaching that we're doing with students to help them connect with the internships, Baeza said. She added that they want students to have a competitive advantage so that they can make a positive impression of themselves. It's just coaching. What is the process? How can I do this? What are the best practices? And that's where I come in and provide those resources, Baeza said. For more information, visit careers.utpb.edu.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.